All right, so this is Make It Weird. I was about to introduce this as beta dog training again, and it was
you
it
do
wasn't
that all the time.
Well. I do do that. And I've actually done it to the point where I kept going until you've pointed it out.
That'd be awkward, though, if I didn't work at beta dog training. But the good news is we all do, so.
That works. Half of this audience just figured out that you really watch Pitch Perfect a lot, and the other half are like, do you have a stutter?
Did I say awkward?
Well, you definitely did. So this is Make It Weird, where we talk about dog stuff and occasional nonsense and apparently the benefits of a cappella teen movies.
I love Pitch Perfect. Which one's your favorite? 1, 2, or 3?
Oh, the original.
Amen.
Yeah, no, that's...
If you had to choose 2 or 3, which one are you going with?
Probably 2. 3, they pushed it too far.
Yeah.
They just kept
Are you
going
to watch the new series?
There's a series?
With Bumper.
Really?
He's in Berlin?
I knew none of this.
Really, it's called Bumper in Berlin, I believe. Alliteration. Yeah, no, it's a series for, I don't know.
Alliteration, not just for dog training, but also.
Who doesn't love it?
Yeah.
I don't know which streaming service picked it up, but Bumper in Berlin, and it's Bumper. And the whole reason I know is because Sarah Hyland is in it. And if you watch Modern Family, that's pretty fun.
I don't.
Okay. Stream Bumper in Berlin, streaming soon.
On an unspecified network.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be great if I remembered? But is it worse to not remember and not say? Or is it worse to say, like, I know it's not
It'd
Netflix.
Be worse to say
I
the wrong one.
I feel like it's Peacock, which I know isn't a Canadian one, but...
I feel like it would be better to just be like, oh, go look this up, because everybody has Google. So just go do that, instead of us tell you it's on the wrong one, and then you get excited because you have
funny
that
is,
one.
What's funny is, like, it doesn't have to be called Bumper in Berlin, but I know Bumper is in Berlin.
Wow.
Anyway, that's one of those ones that I love to watch, but I love to watch, in theory, a lot of shows, but I don't really watch a lot of shows.
I
know about every show, though. I'm a big spoilers
really?
Person. I could tell you the plot of basically any show. Doesn't mean I've seen it. But I could tell you what happened in the finale. Do you want to know?
Oh, wow. you just read the show rather than watch it?
Yeah, I get the Cliff Notes, I get the TikToks, and we move on.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
have time. Time is money, Steph, and I don't have the time to watch a whole season of a show. I have.
You have foot bath and Golden Girls nights.
Which, and we say that as if I am not currently rewatching Gilmore Girls for about, in my lifetime, 12th time.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah.
That does track, 100%. I can't remember the last time I watched an entire series of something, but yes.
Yeah.
Fully agree and love that.
I'll
watch Bumper in Berlin in about 3 years.
We'll give you our review. That's what this will turn into, a review of shows we haven't seen. Tune in.
Yeah, it'll be great. Honestly, it might be as educational as this is. Who knows?
You know what we do know?
What do we know, Sienna?
To weigh benefit versus risk.
We do know how to do that.
Do we want to do this like in a fun format where like we give situations like you said and then we go benefit versus risk?
We could do that. I think we should talk about benefit versus risk before we do something like situations.
Okay, fine.
I mean, we could launch into
Cliff's
it and
notes.
See
Let's
if
go.
People figure it out.
Benefit. What is that?
Well, I'm not defining words. We're going to talk about benefit versus risk because we're going to talk about benefit versus risk in the realm of dog training is like, hey, is this worth doing in the overall benefit of your dog versus the risk factors that go into that situation? And overall, what will that situation actually be worth long term to your dog?
Yeah. Good summary.
Thank you. I'm really bad at summaries.
But that was pretty good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, like it's just every choice you make is a little bit of a gamble. That's everything in life. A little bit of gamble.
And with our dogs, we like to gamble.
That's the thing. I love gambling. Like, I think I'd be great at it. Somebody take me to a casino. But yeah, when I'm gambling, I'm
so
gambling.
Happy that you came of legal age in a pandemic
right.
so you couldn't go
they
right to a casino.
Down. But the risk and the benefit and all that, I don't have a kid who's depending on me to feed it.
No.
The money I spend is my money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I understand that. And that is all, it all really just affects me.
Yeah.
So
you're taking a risk, but it's your risk to take and it affects no one.
And
the
benefit, wow, could win double, could win triple. So we'll take that equation.
And you could also not. Just let's always make sure you remember
But if
that.
You do it enough, you will. That's what I... But when we're talking about dogs,
optimism or craziness?
I will flip the switch, because we don't gamble at all with dogs. We don't gamble with dogs. We don't gamble with other people's dogs. We don't gamble with other people's dogs or lives or anything.
We don't gamble with other people's children.
Don't do that.
No.
Anybody's anything when it comes to your dog, don't gamble with it, because it's fucking rude.
It is.
And it's like, because you know what? You're either...
It's rude to them, but it's also so rude to your dog.
Yeah. And like, it's kind of blunt, but like, it's like, you're either too... Like, you either don't have any understanding that you're gambling this, which that's not great either.
It's Let's not great, but at least we understand that. You just never looked at it like this, so that's why you're doing it.
I guess that's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah.
And then, like, or you're just, you do know, but you're making an active choice to do it anyway.
Which is so much worse.
Not a fan of that at
all. No, we don't love that. And that's one of the things that... We do tell you to your face when you get here.
Yeah.
We're pretty blunt about that when you make really interesting calls. When you know that your dog has done something not great and your dog has a proven behavior history of doing something not great or dangerous or outright violent, and you go, you know what I'll do? That, again.
Anyway, let's do it
anyway. Yeah, let's do it anyway and see what happens.
Let's just roll right through that, you know, the yield sign and the turn wrong way and every other sign. Let's just roll right on through it to do the thing.
And you know what? Then the main reasoning behind that generally seems to be either a like, almost religious style belief that their dog will suddenly make a good choice. Like, it's like a cult belief. These people come in and... To some degree, those ones I'm almost mystified by, because they're sure their dog is good. Yeah, they know that their dog has done this. They're aware of the consequences. They know this. But to their very fucking soul, they have this like deep-seated belief that suddenly their dog will make a better choice, because they have this innate belief in just the moral goodness of their dog. And I'm like... I almost have, like, a bit of respect for that level of crazy, because I'm like, commitment. Okay, listen, you got to recognize that your dog...
Commitment.
Or yeah, commitment. Your dog has killed 3 other small animals. Please stop getting kittens. Like, bro, I'm so sorry. No.
Yeah.
Like, I know your dog is good. That's cool. But that, just being good, does not mean it also can't have prey drive. Those are both things that
they're
can
not
exist
related.
Yeah, that's cool. But then, yeah, there is a level where people see that, they know that their dog has made a bad choice, and they know that that choice would happen again because they put their dog in a situation for that to occur, and they go, I'm going to do it again because I want to, because I feel like it, because I don't want to get trained.
It's quicker.
It's quicker.
Like, and I do know like a
it's
large portion
and
of it
quicker
is because
shows up
it's like a little bit easier. It's a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
It has worked a couple times in the past, so
yeah.
I guess that it's fine.
Oh, yeah, my dog is friends with these dogs every now and then. Yeah, my dog has been friends with this dog before. Sometimes when my dog meets dogs, they're friendly, so I'll let it meet all dogs.
And, like, we had one bite with one person, but we've been good with 10 other people. And I love that for your dog, but again, we're just, why are we playing these weird statistic games? Why don't we just go, again, to the lowest common denominator? If your dog has bitten someone, they have different rules.
Yeah.
If your dog has killed an animal, it has different rules.
Yes.
And that does mean sometimes your life is a little bit more inconvenient. It means that it takes a little bit longer. It means that there are things that you might not be able to do with
it
your dog in
certain
situations.
It means you actually have to accommodate that.
And that's unfortunate. But it is more unfortunate to put them in a situation knowing or unknowing, but putting it in a situation that it can go poorly, and not just poorly in the sense of, that sucks, but like, oh.
Actual cause physical harm to itself or someone else.
Someone. Yeah, like, there's consequences. And when we're looking at the consequences when it comes to dogs, sometimes they can be pretty severe.
Yeah.
Like,
and sometimes the consequences can be like the dog hurts another dog, hurts another animal. The other can hurt a person, but one of the other things is people don't realize that the dog can hurt itself.
Mm-hmm.
If the dog does one of those really bad things, sometimes the dog could get put down as a result. But also, you're like, oh, I'm not that worried about my dog chasing cars. I'm not that worried about my dog barking at cars. Well, your dog slips a leash and runs into the road. It chases a car. It could very, very easily be dead.
Yeah.
Oh, my dog chases horses. It's a bit of a problem, but I don't have horses. Oh, well, my dog got out, chased my neighbor's horses, and they shot it.
Not so good.
not great. And livestock worrying is a thing.
And it's not just like even physical things, but also like mentally. You're you have the chance to kind of fuck up your dog.
Oh, very like, badly.
Yes, there's probably in those types of situations definitely some physical damage, but sometimes the mental damage is worse. We deal with a lot of the mental damage. And so it's like that is unfortunate, but when you look at those situations and gone, it could have been prevented by one little thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's even worse.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, most of what we, the first part of, that we just described was where, like, the dog is the aggressor, the dog is the problem, but there's also where the dog is the recipient of the actions that you've decided. So, benefit versus risk. We decided we'd come up with a fun game where we'd like to, what? Yeah, we're fun.
I'm a cappella.
Oh, there you go.
Full circle.
Well done.
Tying in that nonsense so she has to put it in.
Yeah, there we go.
That's the trick, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, now the fun piece
is... Now I can really plug a bumper in Berlin, and I know she won't edit it out.
Well done. Well done. Okay, we're gonna throw out situations, and then we're going to look at them from a benefit versus risk standpoint as trainers. As trainers or as owners, because you own a dog with resource guarding. I own a dog that is aggressive. I also own a dog that's fearful.
I was gonna say, you own a variety of dogs.
I own a variety of behavior cases.
Situation numero uno.
Oh, you have one. Excellent.
Oh, shit. I was setting you up, bro.
Oh, okay. Well, I have one. Okay. Because it just happened.
Situation numero uno.
Your dog is barking, so you throw a bark collar on it. We both have strong feelings about this after the last month.
Benefit. Ding, 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 ding. The dog
may. May. The dog may.
Be quiet.
That is true.
Risk. Dun, dun.
The dog may not understand what's happening at all and then think that the whole world is just seriously just going off at random intervals because it's getting, because it's also a stim collar. The bark collar is definitely a stim collar. It's not a vibration collar. Although, I think they also tried a vibration collar, which the dog also didn't understand.
Spray one, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and we try. Oh, yeah, and then they said they tried a spray one. So the dog may not understand what is causing that at all and then become super scared of, like, ooh, the world. It may become super scared of, it may associate that with something not related to barking. Because that's fun.
It's so, possible, yeah.
Yeah, because it's very
timing
possible.
Timing is important when we're talking about those things.
It's the timing relation. Yeah, a whole pile of things. There's actually a lot of things in there. Yeah, so that the risk there is that your dog has no idea what's going on, so learns that they should just keep barking because they don't know what's happening to them. Trauma. And they're like, wow, stressed. I'm uncomfortable. I'm stressed.
I don't understand anything. And now I don't understand
life
criteria or understand like
I don't understand the relationship between behavior and consequence at all. It's a fun time.
Da-da-dun.
Look, we just did benefit versus risk.
Number two.
There's a ton more risk, but we just did that one.
Yeah.
Situation two. I just did one. Do you have one?
Situation number two.
Situation two. I have a situation two. I have so many situations.
I have a situation.
Oh, what is your situation? Situation two.
Actually, no. Go. You go first.
I was going to go with the very, very situation standard. Two. I'll bring my dog to a dog park as a puppy.
Oh.
Here, I'll clarify. As a puppy. I'll bring my dog to a dog park as a puppy.
Benefit. Ba-da-ding.
It might meet other dogs that it might like.
Play with.
Yes. It might get tired.
Perhaps it will.
Perhaps. It might get tired. It'd be tired.
It would see another environment.
It would have an excellent immune system after that. Physical fitness. It'd be another environment. It would also meet people.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Could gain confidence. Could.
And there on the flip side,
potential.
What is... There's let's potential. Go to risk, because I think we're making it sound too
no,
good.
No, well, but this is what we do. We do try and look at every situation and look for what the positive out of that situation or why that could have been recommended was. We always take apart training. We don't just on it.
You're right.
There we go. So any other potential good...
To taking your puppy to the dog park.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they get a car ride, and they get used to car rides.
100%. 100%. Because it as a puppy,
they need to go places.
They do their car rides mostly to the vet.
Yeah.
So this is no car fun. Or like the pet store. This is a good in betweener. Yeah. This is like, ooh, that's different. Yeah. Okay. Risk. Sienna, you want to list a risk? Should we bounce back and forth with risks?
Okay, ready?
Okay.
It could die of diseases.
Yeah, so dog parks, people don't know this, but they are so cesspools of disease. They are a COVID unit after a school holiday.
Amen.
Yeah, just so, they're in there.
Yeah, could pick up a disease, and especially when it's that little, that's not great for it to be picking up diseases.
Mm-hmm. Could meet dogs that it doesn't like or that run it over, and it could learn that it doesn't like dogs because other dogs are really fast or powerful or something.
Could learn that it could pick up unwanted behavior. So not that it doesn't like dogs, but maybe there are dogs there that do things we don't like.
Yeah, like so run your dog didn't jump before, but it watched another few dogs jump on their owner, and then it learned it could jump.
That's cool.
That's fun. An opportunity for it to not recall. Mm. It could learn that when you call it, it has other options that are more fun, like every other dog and person in the dog park. So it may learn that recall is just not a thing.
It never learns to calm down because at no point is it going to bench itself at the dog park. So just gets super wired and doesn't know how that it can unwire itself, you know?
Mm-hmm. It sets a pattern of behavior because people go to the dog park more often regularly than they go anywhere else. So then the dog gets super, super, super excited to get in the car and go to the dog park.
And then those car rides become loud.
A little bit loud. A little bit ping-pongy. Endurance. Dog builds endurance to just running around. So rather than walking, there's no mental endurance at all, which kind of ties into your whole like wind up thing.
Yeah.
But then also just physical endurance. Because a lot of people go to the dog park. I've figured this out. A lot of people go to the dog park just to play like fetch. Repetitive one ball fetch.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh God.
Don't do that.
Yeah. Super fun. So they just make endurance machines. Risk. Mm-hmm. Your dog could end up in a dog fight and dead.
Oh, yeah.
Literally that. People really don't, and this is amazing, people actually don't think that that is an option. Like, they don't, they're like, well, maybe my dog would get into a tussle. And I'm like, maybe your dog would piss off a dog three times bigger than it, and it will get ragdolled to death. Because a lot of people that go to the dog parks do not have verbal recall control over their dogs.
Not necessarily.
Not really a thing. As you, prior to working here, used to do dog park trips with a previous job. You would take multiple dogs to a dog park. That's fun. That seems
Isn't
stressful.
Isn't that so funny?
It's so funny.
I think
funny.
If you were to like line us all up though in the net, like after, like ask someone who's interacted with each one of us that works at Beta Dog Training and then go, oh, who's the one that took several loose dogs in a car to another facility, to a dog park and let them all run? Who did that? I don't think anybody would be like, oh, that's Sienna's
You would
task,
be the
right?
at the bottom of that list.
They'd
yes.
be like, no.
No.
No. Who's most likely to get their hands stuck in the run like they did today?
100.
This chicky.
You got your hands stuck in a run.
We almost had to go. I didn't, and I got myself out, and we're all good. But, like, there was a second there where Haley and I were looking at each other, and I was like, are we about to ask Dixon to, like, for wire cutters and be like, I can't tell you why. But, see? And then we talked about it, because I'm like, if Dixon were to call Steph and be like, somebody got their hand stuck in a run, who are you going to choose that would have done that? You would have known it was me.
100%.
So, and then I'm like, yeah. So, but who's
like
taking
loose
dogs?
Like an outdoor kennel run? Mm-mm. Like an indoor run?
Yeah. Anyway, benefit versus risk for situation number two. Ta-dun.
Boom.
Situation number three. I don't know why they're so hard for me to come up right now, just on the spot, maybe.
I don't know either, because you weigh the benefit and risk of literally
everything
with every dog
ever. That's why I think the issue is just I assume everything is... how about...
Feeding your dogs together.
I was going to say, how about when you have a dog... Like, feeding your dogs together, but also feeding them... together when one has a history of food aggression of any sort.
And we're not even saying, like, I mean, there's feeding them together out of the same bowl, which just...
No, there's not.
Yeah.
No.
Which, just the idea of it makes Sienna break
nope,
out.
No, there's not that option. Sweat. That is like...
That's never an option.
That's not an
option.
So...
No, people don't ever do that, Sienna.
Feeding
okay.
their dogs in bowls next to each other.
Right. That's the most that people would ever do.
Ever do.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah. Benefit is you don't have to walk further to
absolutely
put food in another room. You don't have to split up food dishes in case you have a mouse problem.
It's quicker because, like, you can scoop the two bowls. You don't have to get the dogs anywhere. You don't have to literally just...
There's less obedience. Like, your dog doesn't have to, like, go stay over there.
They do get their dinner.
So yeah, they do get fed.
Starve to death.
Yes.
That's pretty beneficial.
Like, not, yes, Sasha doesn't like starving to death
no,
at all.
Merritt apparently cannot handle the concept of starving.
No, he was fed last the other night, and he is a lab. And
he had a training session, though, like 20 minutes prior. He was not hungry.
Yeah, but he's a lab. Training food and food
you know
food.
What did I do tonight?
What did you do?
I, like, went to go feed him, but then Haley was right there, and she was about to pet him or something, she was about to take him out for pee. So then I went to bend down with his dish, and then she's like, oh, no, I'm taking him out. And I'm like, okay. So
oh,
I put his
no
dish on top of his on he top of his crate, and then I walked
dish
away. And then I was like, that was kind of mean. And then Haley took him out right away, so it's fine. But anyway, yeah, your dog doesn't starve.
Mm-hmm.
It's quicker. It's easier.
Yeah. I like that you can keep everything kind of together. So, like, the dog
the
dishes are
messes
in the corner. Yeah, I live rurally. Like, there's mice. We have mice. We have a lot of mice. So, like, not... I feed dogs in three different rooms. So, like, yeah, we have to keep track of that. That's fun. There are benefits.
Yes,
I guess.
Absolutely. It's a meal time,
yeah,
which is better than free fed.
Yes. Oh, we love. Yes, absolutely. We love that there is
so
an
okay
actual meal
I love
time
all those benefits.
Right. Who doesn't?
And I can keep going on benefits forever and ever and ever.
I think you've actually run out. Hey, Sienna, what are the risks?
Oh, a risk. Your dog kills your other dog. Your dog severely wounds your other dog. Your dog terrifies your other dog and gives it PTSD because it has either severely injured or, I mean, not killed it.
Or even just not hurt it. But, like, literally we are talking
scare
about,
the shit
like,
and bully
the
out
shit
of your
out
dog
of it. Yes, it just bullies the shit out of your other dog.
And then for some reason those two don't get along so well because
weirdly enough.
Literally like a little fifth grade boy bullying the other for lunch money, just eyeballing and being like, don't fucking touch it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
My experience with school bullies was...
Yeah, I was about to say.
Your cartoons, so that's what
say,
my impression
that was
of
very,
that
very hardcore, like, Rugrats style.
He's wearing a skull on a black shirt.
Right, so, yeah. Very stereotypical.
But, yeah, so those are some pretty risky risks
mm-hmm
there. You know, death,
mm-hmm,
injury, mental
mm-hmm
trauma. Other risks include...
this is less critical than her reasoning, but if your dog stops finishing all of their food, the other one can easily steal it if they're right next to each other. So if one of your dog changes their eating habits, you find out about it very quickly because they're being fed in different areas or you're watching them in different areas. We actually do feed a couple of our dogs in the same room, but in different corners. And we used to feed two pretty close to each other. And our one dog went into liver failure and she had stopped. She ate half of her food, but she wasn't eating all of it. And it took us a couple days to notice because she would eat half of it and kind of walk away. And Jack who actually, they were our two original older dogs. And so they were fed like 10 feet apart.
Yeah.
And he would just be like, oh, I'll have the last bit. And then I was kind of like, oh, wait. So it allows you to monitor eating habits really quickly.
Red
if
flags,
you have to
yeah
medicate dogs, like if you have stuff in specific food. So some dogs have to have one specific thing or another.
Yeah.
There's supplements in either one. It allows you to actually monitor what they're eating and how much they're eating and how fast they're eating. Because some dogs really should be fed out of a slow feeder. Some dogs really don't eat quickly. We have a dog that lives with us part-time that eats in the bathroom. She won't eat.
Likes the ambiance of the bathroom provides.
Yeah, it's not that she won't eat in any other room, but if she eats in any other room, it takes her about 45 minutes. And yet, if you feed her in the bathroom, this is no word of a lie. I have video of this. You fed her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she.
Can
you confirm? If you get a scoop of food for her, she trots down the hall to the bathroom, puts herself in the bathroom, and is
I'm
like, fuck
you.
Yeah, bathroom breakfast.
It's like
she's having a great day.
It's an Olive Garden to her.
Yes,
perfect music, perfect
and
lighting.
And she'll sit there so happy for you to feed her, and she's like, yes, this is great. But any other room, she's like, I'll take it or leave
it's
it.
Like eating in a
eating in a gas
station subway
bathroom. Like
yeah,
she's like,
no,
mm,
garbage.
Yeah, no, she'll take her time, and it's not.
But Olive Garden.
Yeah, Olive Garden. She's here for it. So like, it we kind of always thought, oh, well, maybe like she's this or she's that. No, she literally, she eats completely normally as long as the ambiance is right.
No.
But it also means that because she eats in a fairly timely manner in there, we don't have to put her in another room and we don't keep her separate from our dogs because all our other dogs would gang beat her for that food. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She'd walk away from that dish and they'd just be like, Halloween kid, yeah, like kids on
pinata,
a Halloween,
like when it splits and all the yes. little vermin go.
Yes.
Children.
All my other dogs are half feral and she's like this sophisticated Olive Garden lady. She's like, oh, I'll have a nice meal. This is great. And all my others are just going to tear apart scraps and be like, I found this drumstick on the side of the road.
Like, a sophisticated Olive Garden. Yeah. Listen, that's my new Instagram bio.
I don't go out a lot, okay? I've heard Olive Garden is fancy.
I've told you that.
Yeah. I don't eat pasta, so I assume it is. They tell me there's pasta.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't eat pasta.
No, I kind of, not really.
You don't like sauce, right?
Yeah,
nothing
there's no
to do
point.
With noodles.
Then. Yeah. So
okay, but just clarifying.
I will eat noodles. I don't need to. Like, I could die without it. It'd
interesting.
Be
so yeah. What's your favorite... Oh, that's a good pack walk. I'll save it.
Okay, you save it. You put it up there. There are risks. Other risks?
I mean, you know what? I will say, my dog killing or injuring or traumatizing my other dog, that to me is pretty in bold, big letters. So to me, that's enough risk. That kind of all the little benefits that we left, because those ones are in big, big fonts, big, big lettering, big spacing, red, underlined.
Yeah, that isn't Comic Sans, folks. That is Times New Roman. That
all
is underlined.
Bold, underlined, red. So to me, like, we're good. We've covered it, because what else is there cover?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have big feelings on that one.
Yeah. Situation number 4.
Oh, you have one. Wow, yes.
I know, right? Just boop, popped
it
into my
head. It popped in there so fast I saw it come into your
head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about just, like, letting your dog off-leash? Right, like, and it, we're talking about...
Oh, I love this. This is such an easy one, too, because people are like...
A 12-month-old?
Yeah, like a year-old
dog. Letting it off-leash in a brand new field.
100%. Oh my God, it's going to have so much fun.
It is going
it
to
It is
have
definitely
so going to
have so much fun.
Physical exercise?
Mhm. It's going to smell lots of things. It's going to have a great time.
Yes.
Mental stimulation, physical exercise, so much fun. It could become independent. Mm-hmm. It could gain some confidence and independence cuz it's operating by itself. The training wheels are off. Yep, that's
a nice run.
Yeah, it's a nice run for sure. Yeah. Hey, what's the risk, Sienna?
Your dog never comes back.
Mm-hmm.
It runs away. You know how you're saying like, oh, could gain confidence?
Yeah.
Ooh, that could swing wildly the other way when we start running a little too far and then we like find something that we shouldn't be into and then we get electrocuted because we ran into the neighbor's fence.
Yep. Or we are a little too far away and like, yeah, something scares us because the amount of people that like their dog is on a leash with them 6 feet from them because they're just not looking at it. And of course we have to give the dog the whole leash and it has its head like up in the shelving rack that we have in that one training room.
My God.
And I'm like, bro, you don't know what we keep in there. It could be rat poison. Like I'm literally, they're watching their dog climb into a shelving unit, into a bucket. And this has happened. Oh God, no less than probably every first session in there. And I'm literally like, hey, so do you know what's in that bucket? And they'll turn around and be like, oh no. And I'm like, cool. What if it's rat poison? And they're like, oh my God. And I'm like, okay, it's not. But like, what, because you don't know what's in there, a good rule of thumb is to like not let your dog do it. So it, and that's on a 6 foot leash. If your dog is completely loose, what happens if it finds, just as a very low risk event, a porcupine?
I know, I couldn't even
a
think
pile
of risk event there. Sorry, I'm big with the electrocution.
Yeah. Porcupine. What if it finds, or well, a different part of the world, a snake.
Garbage
what about chicken
dog,
bones?
Like, just like
chicken
ingest,
bones.
Yeah, garbage.
Ingestion just, risk. Mm. Something that is an ingestion risk.
Yeah. That you
or
didn't even see it ingest.
Maybe
you don't
it
even
has
know
food
that,
allergies.
That something.
And it eats something that it shouldn't just is that could be ingestible, but is not good for
runs
it.
Runs into the river.
Runs, oh, here we have that,
the
oh my God,
valley.
Every spring we have people that let their dog off as the ice is breaking
up.
And they don't think their dog is going to go anywhere near the river. And then, of course,
there's
the river's
every
been frozen.
Year, like a story, like you'll just
oh,
be on Facebook and it'll be like, oh,
one
yep.
story. There's like 15
there's several,
every
but like,
year.
Yeah, and it's just, That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, your dog has run on the frozen river for the last 6 months. They don't understand that spring is here.
Yes.
There we go. Okay. They're now out on the river and they drowned. Like, that's super unfortunate.
Yeah, like a less severe risk of like just even if they don't get anything, they also can just learn that like they don't have to recall.
They can definitely learn they don't have to recall. They can also... Like, I am saying things that can hurt them, but also things that can create fear. You're like, okay, electric fence, sure. But what if they just get really far away and they get bite off a little more they can chew? They see a person, yes, they're excited about
they're
people.
They're still young enough.
But as they run up to that person actually goes, no, I don't like dogs, and yells at them. And now they're like, oh my God, people are scary. Well, that dude had every right to yell at your charging dog, and your dog now has every right to be fearful. Honestly, for both people, that is your fault.
Yes.
Like, I'm very sorry, but you could have done anything and prevented that situation.
Yeah.
You could have just not done any of that and prevented the situation. So it's one of those things where, yeah, absolutely, your dog could run around. But what happens if your dog doesn't come back?
Right. Like, that's great if it goes seamlessly and your dog just ran around cool. But if it goes wrong, it can go very wrong. And even if it doesn't have to go very wrong, it can go
very moderately wrong and still not be great. It can create a pattern of behavior that then you go, wow, I wonder why my 3-year-old dog doesn't recall.
Considering you can, all we have to do is throw a long line on that dog. Yes. And all of a sudden, all those benefits we just listed, you still get.
Yep. 100%.
But none of the risk. That's super interesting.
That is. And this is, yeah, that is the thing about some of these benefit versus risk scenarios. Some of them are, you can do almost exactly the same thing, but you do it with a leash.
Wow.
And you can do literally almost exactly the same thing.
And you get all the benefits, but just, you're not gambling with, you know, even in that situation where your dog ran up to another person. Well, what if that person had a kid and he not jumped on the kid and just knocked over a kid? That's pretty rude, I heard.
Yeah.
Don't go punching kids.
I've heard
or if that person had a dog, and then that dog runs up on a dog, and then your dog attacks that dog.
Yeah.
That traumatizes,
Here's a good one. You're taking your puppy for a walk, and you see someone with a dog on a leash, and you want your dog to meet their dog. What is the benefit? As you just stare at me like, oh God, never. Benefit? Your dog might make a friend. You got nothing. You're like, there is no benefit. I can't even. You're searching.
I could do this. Hold on.
Yeah.
Like, come a up puppy meets an adult dog or another puppy? An adult dog.
We'll go with any dog. We'll just go with you're walking
and
your
I'm a puppy.
We won't and we'll lighten it up. We'll go your dog meets another dog. You sees another dog and you want them to meet. They could make a friend.
Well, don't stop listing them because if I hit one, I'm gonna have you take it.
Keep looking. I have one.
Okay, go.
It's not realistic, but it's an opportunity to practice a greeting drill.
But that's not meeting.
But it could be.
Okay, fine. Sure.
If I saw you on the road, it would be a greeting drill. Like,
okay,
it's an
well,
opportunity
then if it's a greeting drill, it's a training exercise, yeah. And your dog could practice neutrality.
Yeah, but in that exercise, an actual greeting drill,
meeting.
You don't
that's
meet.
The meeting.
But it's an opportunity to practice impulse control as you go up there before they meet. I guess.
Strengthen your dog's immune system.
Hey, Sienna, let's save you here. What are some risks?
Your dog just learns that every single thing that it can see on leash, if it pulls hard enough and it goes, it can meet that thing on the leash and it
100%.
Gets so excited and it doesn't understand when you won't let it to pull towards the barking thing, but it'll let it to the nice one and you'll let it. It's super confusing. It makes it confusing. It can end in a fight very quickly because nobody knows what they're doing with their dog on a leash on a walk. So then all of a sudden, even though you're like, oh, is your dog friendly? They might be friendly, but might not be friendly on leash with tension with a brand new puppy that doesn't have any sort of social skills, could get a disease because kissing gives diseases.
Yeah, 100%.
Poor manners, excitement, no neutrality.
Probably shitty impulse control.
Yeah, like just...
It learns
actually,
other things. It ruins your engagement. Other things are more exciting. You're like, there's no benefit.
There's no benefit, and it's all just risk. And it's not necessarily always the riskiest risk of, oh, that dog's going to eat my dog.
Yeah,
those
no,
ones
and
are
that's
pretty
the
easy
thing
to
is
spot those killers. But
how but come, this is but what we're talking about is like, yeah, we don't need to have extreme risks. This we just need to recognize that sometimes some of the easier things, even the easier things that we're doing with our dogs, are inherently risky. For example, riding with your dog loose in the car. Like meeting a dog on a leashed greeting on a road, probably not overly dangerous, but there is an element of risk to it. Riding with your dog loose in the car. 90% of people do it. It's frequent. Oh, yeah,
and it's safe and it's 100%. Nothing bad happens.
They're like, it's fine awesome. Because nothing bad but, like, has ever happened. But the risk same reason is... we
wear a seatbelt.
Yes.
When you're, like, so that's what I just don't understand. Because, like, you're
Yeah, but this is the thing is, you've seen what happens to more often than, like, if you've seen 100 dogs, you've seen the risk side of that. And what has happened when that goes wrong 98 times, and you've seen the benefits twice. Like, you have That's a very true. Skewed perspective because you have seen 90% or above of most of the dogs you see. You see the risk. You don't see the 500 dogs, and you're like, oh, it's a 50-50 split.
Yeah.
We deal primarily with dogs that have had bad things happen to them or dogs that have done the bad thing. And then we only see a couple of, oh, this we rolled the dice so many times and it's okay.
It's never happened. And I think the other thing is, though, think of a lot of owners do that, too, where they get four dogs in a row where you played all those same games and it ended up fine. Yes. But then that fifth dog came along and just
weirdly enough
didn't work.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they do understand how to weigh benefit versus risk. But, like,
they figure that out fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Benefit versus risk. For everything you do, the moral of this story is for everything that you do with your dog, kind of look at, okay, and this is the other part of the benefit versus risk is, and we had this conversation with someone the other day, is this, so we're looking at the benefits from the dog's point of view, but a lot of people do it from the benefits from their point of view. So I ask people straight up, I'm like, what in that situation benefits the dog? I am so happy that you want to do that with your dog. That's great. What part of that do you think your dog wants to do?
Yeah.
I want to bring my dog, my fearful dog, camping. Cool. I've met your dog. Your dog is terrified of life. Just terrified. Doesn't like being in the car. Doesn't like going to your mom's house, even though it's been once a week for its entire life. Doesn't like meeting new people. Doesn't like its routine disrupted. You want to go tenting at a campsite. Okay, and you want to bring your dog. Why do you want to bring your dog? Oh, well, you know, I think he'll have fun. It's what we do. I want to bring him camping because I want to buy him camping gear. My old dog
went camping.
Yeah, okay. That's cool for you. Like, that's your wish. That's your desire. That's awesome.
That's your hope, your dream.
Take a real solid look at your dog and be like, is that what they want?
Mm.
Because I'm going to tell you, not all of them have the same benefit risk factor that you have.
Yeah.
Not all of them want to play the gamble game for the benefits that you think. Because as much as, like, we're trying to find the benefits to things like going to the dog park, your dog might make friends. Yeah, that's also if they want to make friends.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, half of my dogs don't want to make friends. They're adults. They're full adults. I'm an adult. I don't want to make friends. I don't want to leave my house.
Fair.
I have to talk myself into driving into town to go to a Walmart because I'm like, well, that seems like a lot of social interaction.
It does.
No, I know, right? No, I tell people this all the time. I'm like, when you are in grade 2, you give everybody a Valentine, you invite all your class to your birthday party, that's cool. When you are in grade 9, you start to have social cliques. I'm explaining this to you, like, you should just write this down and have notes. Good job. When you're in grade 9, you invite your friends. You know, that little social clique, that's cool. But when you're, you know, 21, 22, your circle gets quite a lot smaller. When you are 35, oh my God, my social circle is my six dogs. No, that is it. That is it. That is all. I don't want more of a social circle. It is non-existent. Is there anything smaller than zero? What is smaller than zero? Let's go there. Like, you don't need to take the six-year-old dog you just adopted from a rescue and throw it in a dog park and be like, it needs dog friends. It doesn't want dog friends. It would like an orthopedic mattress and it would like some Gucci treats.
Yeah.
Probably. It would like you to take it to a training class where it can do fun things with you and then it can go home and nap.
Sounds great. Have a great
day. you want to go to the dog park. You want to take a photo of you and your dog at the dog park and put it on Instagram. That is not a benefit to the dog.
No.
Absolutely not. So I'm rude sometimes, and you've seen it, where I go, okay, someone tells me something that is in direct opposition to the dog that they own, that they've known forever, and they are 100% just doing it because they want to either take a picture of it and put it on social media and say that they've done this with their dog, or they want to do it because they want to do it very, very obviously. They just feel that they need to, or they want to do it out of convenience. They're like, well, that's too much work for me.
I don't care. Like,
yeah.
I don't care.
I don't. I told somebody this on the weekend, and you were there. I'm here to advocate for your dog.
Yeah.
And that means telling you what you should, like, I can advise you on what to do and what not to do, but I can tell you this dog is not okay with you doing this XYZ. You need to stop.
Yeah.
I don't care if that makes it easier for you or not, but like, You do need to use a crate. Your dog is actually comfortable with that. Your dog is not comfortable being accosted by your family members.
Yes.
Your dog does not need to meet the family member that you see once every 2 years. It doesn't like to meet new people. It doesn't like people in its house. Just put your dog in a crate for 2 days and stop trying to force it to interact with things just because you think it should.
Right.
No. People think I should eat vegetables. No. I don't care.
Yeah.
Go away. I have a smoothie drink. It covers my vitamins. Okay, we're good.
Perfect. I'm like,
done. You do need vitamins. Yeah, you're like, you should. No, I have a smoothie drink. We're done.
We don't need scurvy around here. You should.
I don't need scurvy. I bought orange juice. We're good.
Good. See, you're covered.
Yeah. You have flu season. I bought orange juice.
Your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please weigh your benefits versus risk. And especially when it comes down to if that risk injures or impacts another dog, another human, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Fuck your dog,
another person's dog, other people, other environments. If it impacts you, if you want to do something stupid to your dog, absolutely. People that try and take their own dog stuff, like they're like, oh, my dog guards bones. And they're like, well, I am a grown ass adult.
And
that
person's chew. Yeah.
I am going to stick my hand in there. I'm like, you know what? The only person that's going to get fucked up by that is you.
Yeah.
100%. You go for it. However, please stop doing that because it's a stupid idea. But like if the only person affected is you and you are an adult making that decision in the benefit versus risk, the only person who's taking a risk is you, sure, live your life. But
if anyone else comes into that equation, properly go fuck yourself if you looked at this list and then do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you're going to like.
No.
No.
If you put, like, because we deal with the very extreme end.
Yeah,
of
I know. And I know that's why I get very risk.
Yeah.
But like. Stop it.
We have, when you see your third dog of the day that has been attacked by other dogs just because they walk down the street and people go, I just want to let my dog off leash.
Mm.
When you meet someone that has let their dog off leash after it has attacked multiple dogs off leash that they know they don't have recall, and they're like, well, you know, I just didn't see a dog around, so I figured I'd unclip the leash. I just didn't see a dog around, so I'm like, no, your dog has just killed someone else's family member.
Yeah.
Bro, you have to stop.
When you have met when you've met a dog who's put several injuring punctures into the same dog and you continue to just ignore that and pretend it's not an issue, stop it.
Please stop it. That's not cool.
That's it.
Also, in other family members, not even in other dogs, but if a dog has bit like every member of your family, including your children, to like stitch level, and you're like, hey, I would like some training, but like, I don't want it. Yeah, I don't want too much. Don't want too much training. And I definitely want this dog to just live with my like toddler style children again, even though my one kid is getting plastic surgery for the last bite.
Make that happen?
Can you make that happen? And can you do it in a way that does not change my life or inconvenience me at all? Nope.
Throw in an eggnog latte, please.
Yeah, I'm like, this ain't extra Walmart.
Hot. No foam.
No. Yeah. I don't know how to order fancy drinks, so I love that you were able to come up with a bunch of, like, changes to that order, but
I didn't go to grade 5 school, so.
That's true.
Yes, we can both make references that goes over the other's head. I don't have friends. What are you gonna do?
You have friends. They're just
Just
they're just You work with them.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have other friends. You have other friends, right? That aren't related to you?
What are you doing right now? Like, what's the end goal here?
The goal is to point that you are...
What's
you
the
are
benefit of this conversation that we're recording?
I have so much faith that you...
The risks? Yenna cries.
To be honest, you cry about 4 times a week, so...
Oh! Okay. That's so nice that you picked that number.
Is it more than that or less than that? Because I don't know. I genuinely never thought you cried at work for, like, the first year you were here.
And I love that. I love that for you. I love that that's how we established our relationship. I love that we're in a different place now.
I 100% was like, no, you don't cry at work. And then you were like, oh, Steph, no, I do.
I do.
I was like, oh, I missed that. Huh. I'm not made of observation sometimes.
Oh, I thought for a second, I understand that you've said that, like, oh, I've missed that. Like, I missed that completely. For a second, I thought you meant I missed that. Like, as in I missed when you used to hide your crying from me. Please resume that.
Hey, what's your Pacwalk question that you remembered?
What's your favorite carb?
Oh.
Rank your favorite and rank your least.
My least favorite would very likely be pasta.
Ugh.
This is favorite. The fun thing is I don't eat a lot of carbs. I do. Like, I do now.
See, I
in the
know
time
your
frame
answer.
That you've known me, yeah, like, I don't love pasta. I will actually eat, like, the vegetables I do eat, I'll eat them before I want pasta.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no.
I have
popcorn.
I know what your
I like
favorite
popcorn.
Is, though.
Sugar. Anything that is like a candy.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
What's
sorry,
my favorite
sorry.
Then?
Okay. Two things. First off, okay. Okay. When I say carbohydrate, I mean not like a carbohydrate, but I mean like if you were to classify like the, not the breads, but like the pastas and the breads and the things like that, not just sugar. Just to clarify.
Oh. I meant carb in the actual literal sense of it's a carbohydrate.
Yeah, I know that's what you meant. But
like,
that's
like
not
donuts?
What I meant. People...
Or cookies?
No, cereal.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. Cereal is a whole
cereal's
ass
your favorite.
Food.
Pasta's
I
yours.
Do eat. Yeah, I do eat a lot of cereal.
Sweet.
That's true.
Sweet.
Yeah. I do. Yeah, that would probably be the one of the only sources. I do have like 3 vegetables I eat.
Yeah.
And I eat
what
like
are they?
Popcorn.
Let me guess. Broccoli?
Yep.
Cauliflower?
Yeah. It's one of the ones I'll eat.
Okay, but not the top three?
No.
Okay, broccoli? That's for some reason that's the only reason that's the only one I can see you like purchasing.
Oh, carrots and potatoes.
Are potatoes a vegetable?
Yeah, dude.
No.
Yeah, bro.
Potato, like sweet potato? Or you mean a potato? No, I'm actually not gonna feel like the fool here. A potato is a starch. A potato is a carb, a potato is not a vegetable.
Okay, we're both Googling this. I don't know why I'm trying to Google faster than a Gen Z. Yes.
Nah, bro.
Wait, is potato a vegetable? Botanically speaking, potato is a vegetable.
No. No, ma'am.
And is a root vegetable native to the potato? It's a starchy tuber and root vegetable native to the Americas. What do you think it is if it's not a vegetable?
It's a starch. You cannot eat. If I have a bowl of mashed potatoes.
Bro, that homeschool world is not helping you right now.
No. If I have a bowl of mashed potatoes, nobody's going to look at me and be like, oh, that's your serving of vegetables for the day. Nobody's going to be like, ah, that's a salad.
I have several questions. Have you ever eaten an actual
and now
bowl
my
of...
phone's frozen.
Have you actually eaten a bowl of mashed potatoes as a meal?
Around Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, no, actually, like a bowl of mashed potatoes and been like, hey.
Well, are we adding stuff in it or no? Probably yes as a snack for sure. If you've got lots of mashed potatoes.
Right,
but if
okay.
you're having meatloaf and then you have mashed potatoes and then you have to have a vegetable. I swear, this is not a me, I'm homeschooled thing. Potatoes are not a vegetable, bro.
Yeah, the internet disagrees with you. I disagree with you.
No. I will take this to court. This is blasphemy.
This is You've heard, this is a, yeah, here's a myth from the Little Potato Company. You've heard them all. Potatoes are not a vegetable. Potatoes are a starchy carb. Potatoes are not nutritious. Ugh. No, potatoes are a vegetable.
If I only eat potatoes, I'm gonna get scurvy.
Didn't the entirety of Ireland survive like a famine because of potatoes?
I hear what you're saying, but I'm gonna ask 100 people on the street what they classify a fucking potato as, and none of them are gonna be like, a vegetable.
Yeah, like 80% are going to be, and the other 20% are going to be like, I don't understand the question.
No. I'm going to settle this by asking everyone, but no, you're wrong.
I don't think this
there's a lot of times where like you go, oh, actually, dude, a square head screw,
yeah, no.
That is very popular and common, and I go, ah, that's not me. I feel silly. I didn't know that. I don't know what a sawhorse is, and there's a lot of revelations I've come to learn here.
I've learned vegetables, a lot of things since you've been here, too.
Unrelated.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I've learned that there are many different types of tutus. I learned that in the first month you were here.
Yeah.
I only thought there was one.
I make it clear what I know.
Yes. I have learned half of all of Broadway's soundtrack.
Yeah.
I knew the other half to start, let's be clear.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, Haley knows nothing. And I'm like, you were a musician. How do you not know?
Yes, yeah, she wasn't. Phantom. She knew musical theater.
Phantom of the Opera. Okay. Who doesn't know that?
Well, she also didn't know the entire playlist of every discography of Taylor Swift in the world.
Oh my God, you know what I've done to her? She's listening, so I know. Her TikTok feed is now majority Taylor Swift. She goes ahead and texts me last night. The other night or something. And asked me, what is Cardigan in relation to Taylor Swift? And no, oh, did she not know she was opening a can of worms?
You covered that for her.
There's a whole thing about it, which I'm sure you know, right?
No. It's okay, text
listen
it to me
to
later.
Her albums, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've listened to them. I just enjoy the music. I don't actually know any of...
That's completely fine,
although,
and I will accept that.
There was a TikTok I watched the other day that had like both a Jake Gyllenhaal and John Mayer thing at the
fuck
same time.
Fuck them both.
And they were like, Taylor Swift.
Fuck Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, she was doing a whole thing. She was like, I'm going to get both at the same time. And then she did her whole skit. And I understood half of it, and I didn't understand the other half. So I'll have to Google
it. Did you know that it's pronounced Jake Gyllenhaal?
No, it is.
He, not as a celebrity.
I've heard he has some sort of weird pronunciation,
because,
but I didn't
believe
it.
He doesn't do it as a celebrity, and he says Jake Gyllenhaal, but like his, I think it's Swedish or some sort
That's
of
weird.
Whatever his
So we opened this with a cappella and Pitch Perfect. We're closing it with Potato is a Vegetable and Taylor Swift's hit list.
X's. John Mayer. I also very much was like, we can name a litter of puppies after Taylor's exes. That could be cute. If it's majority men, that's cute.
That would be cute, actually.
Because, like, they're all
that
pretty,
would be hilarious.
They're basic boy names. But then if you really get into it, you're like, nah, these are Taylor's exes.
Yeah. I actually think that would be hilarious.
Thank you.
If we do, we have talked about raising a litter of puppies for a rescue. And if we do that.
Taylor's exes.
You have so many puppy litter names, though.
That could
like,
have
you
been
have
a
so
podcast
many themes.
In itself.
I almost want you to be a breeder just so that you could have...
Can I get a sub-podcast? Because you know how some podcasts do that. Can I get a sub-podcast where it's only like a 10-minute special and I explain the litter and why I want it and like the names?
I don't even think you need to explain why. You don't need to justify. You just need to be like, this is an excellent litter theme. Okay. And I'll be like, okay.
That's how we end some of the podcasts. You just go, what's another litter name? And I go, Italian frozen desserts.
Beautiful. That's excellent. I think this was a good one. Okay.
Buongiorno.
Italian frozen desserts. Excellent. Okay, bye.
Bye.